grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our gospel lesson today begins with these words. They went on from there and passed through Galilee. And he did not want anyone to know, for he was teaching his disciples, saying to them, "The Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men, and they will kill him. And when he is killed, after 3 days he will rise." But they did not understand the saying and were afraid to ask him. The disciples simply were not equipped to understand at that time what Jesus was trying to teach them. The idea that the main mission of the Messiah, that he was to die on a cross, this was not part of the disciples' thinking process. The very idea that Jesus was telling them the literal, objective truth was not an option for these guys. The idea of many of the Jews of that day, and even today, was that the Lord's Messiah would not be a political Messiah who would then drive the occupying Roman forces from the land and clean up all the corruption that was taking place. And then for today, that they believe he would restore the Holy Land back to the Jews. He would once again establish the Empire of Israel as it had been under the reign of King David and King Solomon. They expected from God an earthly king. So Jesus' words today totally stumped them. Once you take the idea that Jesus was telling them the literal objective truth, take that off the table, then what could Jesus possibly have meant? Is it a parable, a metaphor, or is he trying to tell us some story to teach us a lesson? Who knows? It was not until after the crucifixion and the resurrection that the disciples understood that Jesus had simply been telling them exactly what was going to happen to him. So we today, we live after the resurrection. We live this side of the cross of Christ. So that gives us 20/20 hindsight. Okay? We can read the Bible. We know the story. It's been written. It's been told over and over again for a moment. We simply cannot place ourselves in the position of those disciples when Jesus foretold of these things to them. We can't fathom that. It's already happened. It's difficult for us to put us in that place. Matter of fact, that's one of the difficulties of the church in this day that we have. It's simply too hard of a story for us to understand what we're doing is the exact same thing the disciples thought and discussed in that day. It's too hard for us to comprehend what it means that Christ died way back when. For me? Come on! I can't wrap my hand around that. A lot of people have trouble with it. Well, given we have this 20/20 hindsight, why is it that we still fall into the same trap that the disciples demonstrated in the second part of today's gospel lesson? As Jesus and his disciples returned to his headquarters there in Capernaum, he asked them, "What were you discussing on the way?" But they kept silent, for on the way they had argued with one another about who was the greatest. You ever walk into a group of little kids in the other room and say, "All right, what were you talking about?" Nothing. Right? Same thing. They weren't going to say it. So given the fact that the disciples didn't understand the main mission of the Messiah, Messiah, you know, we might cut them a little bit of slack, okay? The disciples had not yet witnessed the crucifixion and the resurrection. They did not understand that Jesus must die for their sins. That they didn't understand that blood had to be shed for the sins of all mankind. God required the sacrifice, the letting of blood. However, yes, they were up for jockeying for positions of importance in God's kingdom as they saw it. You know, on the one hand, they didn't understand what was going on, but they still, hey, I want to be in charge. At least they were consistent with the way that they perceived the world. And aren't we, you and I, aren't we just as consistent with the thought process that, hey, I'm a very important person. Don't I deserve some prominence in my own home? How about in the community? I do a lot here. I need some recognition. How about in this church, huh? I do a lot here. How about you? I think I do more than you do here. I ought to be recognized for that. Jesus used this discussion among his disciples as an opportunity for them and for us about what it means to be a leader in his church. If anyone would be first, he must be last of all and servant of all. Jesus has spoken to that to us before. The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, what he has said. In the family of God, the leader serves. The one who is the highest makes himself the lowest. The leader in God's family sacrifices not to get power, but to serve others. Jesus nailed this point home by taking a child into his arms in front of them and telling the disciples to serve the child. He said, "Whoever receives one such child in my name receives me, and whoever receives me receives not me, but him who sent me." With these words, Jesus tells us that anyone who cares for a child is caring for God. For the one who sent Jesus is none other than God the Father himself. Now, when Jesus used a child as an example, he was emphasizing what he meant by serving all people. He was talking about the entire spectrum of society. He was not only asking us to serve those who are young physically, the little kids, but also those who are young spiritually, young mentally. There's a lot of people who are children of God that have great difficulty wrapping themselves around the idea that Jesus died for you and for me. They need to be cared for. They need to hear the love of Christ. That's why we have missions. Why we go to the jails and the prisons. Why we go to other countries to share the good news about Jesus Christ. So Jesus was asking us to serve all people. So, how are we doing? How's it going? Are we willing servants? If we are servants, do we serve because we want to share God's love? We want others to to know about the good news? Or do we serve others so that people will notice us and tell us how wonderful we are? Do we get angry when we have to serve and people just fail to acknowledge our contribution? Do we serve with all our heart, or is our service only skin deep? How are we doing? God judges our hearts. He examines our motives. Do we serve in order to get noticed? Then it really isn't service then. Hear what Jesus had to say on this topic in the Sermon on the Mount. He said, "Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them. For then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly, truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you." This message that Jesus spoke from the Sermon on the Mount has some of the saddest words in it that you'll read in the Bible. Those words where he said, "They have received their reward. For if they have their reward now, there is no heaven for them later." So how are you doing as a servant? When I examine the teachings of Jesus, I've got to admit to you that I am a pretty lousy servant. How about you? What is our excuse? At least the disciples could say that they had not witnessed the crucifixion and the resurrection yet. They had an excuse of a sort. Unlike the disciples, we know that Christ died on the cross for our sins. We know that he rose from the dead. Easter is a fabulous, wonderful service here in this church. We have heard this gospel before, and we know that the role of the Christian is to serve others. We know it. Just like the example of going into that room next to you, and those kids are sitting there talking, and you go, "What are you talking about?" Nothing. What's your excuse for being a lousy servant? Nevertheless, we don't want to be true servants. We want to be the big boss. We even want judgment from God in a way that makes us look good. We even want to judge God when his teachings counter what we believe should be the truth. It's not just other churches that do that. We do that right here within our church. Deny what is written in the very Word of God as the truth. And we deny it and we close our eyes, we put the blinders up, and we go and do whatever we want to do anyways. We consider ourselves to be the greatest, even greater than the teachings and revelation of God who created us. Even though we are arrogant and self-righteous, God still wants to rescue us. He still wants us to be part of his family. He still wants to rescue us from our arrogance and all of our other sins. He still wants to be there with us. And he is. That's why he sent his son to become us. He became our sin, and he took that sin to the cross. That's why Jesus died upon the cross, for the forgiveness of your sins. That's why we receive Jesus today, in, with, and under the bread and the wine. God sent his son to be the servant that we could never be. The Holy Spirit inspired Isaiah to speak of Jesus before he was even born. Isaiah wrote, "Behold, my servant shall act wisely. He shall be high and lifted up and shall be exalted. He was despised and rejected by man, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." God came down to this earth to serve us, and what did we do? We beat him, whipped him, and hung him on a cross. Yet he served us perfectly. He deserved service from us, but he served us with his life. He sacrificed himself in order to save each and every one of us from our sins. And although he deserved to be first, he made himself last for us. This perfect servant who sacrificed himself for us is Jesus Christ. The same Jesus Christ who hugged children and told us to receive them as we would receive God the Father. Jesus Christ, the perfect servant, sacrificed himself on the cross in order to save us from the condemnation of our imperfect service. God the Father honored the service of his sacrifice by calling him out of the grave. Christ rose from the dead to eternal life. God the Father now sees our woefully inadequate service as perfect service. For Christ's sake, he deems us worthy to receive him, even if it's in the guise of a little child. Jesus Christ, our Savior, who was once dead but now lives forever, he serves us today. He serves us with the forgiveness of our sins. He serves us with his word, the Holy Scriptures. He serves us with his life-giving body and blood, and he continually serves us with his presence. Ultimately, it is the desire of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to serve us with new holy bodies that will rise from the dead just as he rose from the dead. And then our service will be perfect as we serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness. You see, in heaven, it won't even cross our minds to ask, who is the greatest? Come, receive Jesus. Amen. Now may the peace which surpasses all human understanding keep our hearts and minds in the risen Christ Jesus. Amen.